Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Welcome back, Big Bad Morning Show. I'm going to get on our first guest, well, our last guest of the show, I should say. Jim Duquette's going to join us here, former MLB GM and, of course, with Sirius Radio. Let's bring him on. Jim, how are things with you, man? Thanks for joining us.
Happy New Year, gentlemen. How's it going?
Good.
All right. It's going. Yeah. For the second day of the year, not so bad. You know, it's been a good year so far.
I'm already ready for this year to be over with.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So, obviously, we're going to talk about the Orioles to start.
Yeah.
Corbin Burns no longer here. He goes to Arizona. People think that he just wanted to go home. His spring training is in Arizona. His family's in Arizona. The team's in Arizona. He gone. How do you feel about his departure to this team? And are you surprised they haven't made any other moves, really?
I'm a little surprised they haven't made a bigger move so far. Yeah, I am on that part. I mean, you know, that not only were they basically telling us they were going to do it, but then, you know, you got the owner basically telling everyone he's going to spend money. He's giving them, you know, I don't know if I would say a blank check, but it's pretty close to a blank check. So, yeah, I'm a little surprised at that. And, you know, there's a lot of good starting pitchers in particular off the board right now. So, yeah, where do they go from here? I mean, you know, Jack Flaherty's been staring right at him again. I think we probably talked about this back around the trade deadline. You know, maybe that was the time to trade for him then. But, you know, I mean, there are other starters out there, but just not at that ilk that Burns was, you know. So you might, for me, you need something. I would have to look at the trade front first before pursuing the Flaherty signing.
And that's where I was going to go to. What do you, being a GM and sitting in that seat and getting those phone calls, whether you were the one calling or someone's calling you about a player, I almost feel like, and I can't be certain, that the Orioles get phone calls about those top three prospects that everyone knows that they don't want to move, and that's what people are asking for, and this is why we never get anything done. What are your thoughts on the trade market? Because we've heard Dylan Cease, Luis Castillo. Is there anybody? Framber Valdez's name was mentioned. Your thoughts? Any validity there? Do you think they're good fits for the O's?
The other one is Pablo Lopez. We heard a little bit out of Minnesota. So that's another one that you can kind of throw on there on the list. I mean, I think that the one that had two that have the most legs are Castillo and Cease. Castillo, because he's making some money, obviously he's making $23 million over the next two, potentially 3 years. So there's something there, and Seattle is looking to save money, you know, so cause the initial feeling is, well, why not try to trade for one of the young controllable starters? Well, they're trying to save money and they want a competitive team. So they're not really moving those guys. They're not moving George Kirby or Logan Gilbert as an example. So Castillo can be had if you're willing to take on the money, or Cease because he's a year away from free agency. So we saw this play out last year, right, with the Burns thing. You know, as the month of January goes on, if he's still available, I would expect the Orioles were going to be playing on him anyway. But, you know, the blueprint of what they paid for Burns last year would be something similar to Cease. And I'd still have interest in Cease because, you know what, it didn't work this time to sign Burns long term, but it could with Cease. So I wouldn't let that be a deterrent as long as you don't have to give up, you know, Mayo or Basayo or, you know, the two or three top guys. I'm okay with, because they have enough quality and depth below that.
And Jim, this is a kind of broader question, not about the O's, just about, you were the GM of the Mets before you came to the Orioles. You know what it's like with the Yankee-Met rivalry in New York.
Right.
And with them picking up Soto, when you're making decisions as a Mets executive, does the fact you can stick your finger in the Yankees' eye ever play into these decisions, like picking up a Juan Soto?
Well, I mean, just tell you, you know this from following the Mets through all those years. So going back to the early 90s when I was with the Mets, all the way till now, covering them, you know, for their TV, covering them, you know, for TV, for SNY. The Mets have never come out on top when it comes to pursuing a free agent that the Yankees wanted. Like, not, I mean, and this spans through their history, so it's over 50 years. So to do this one in particular, because you took them away from the Yankees, it has even more significance, at least in my opinion. Now, you know, we know it's not going to play out over the 15 years, but over the next six or seven, this is such an unusual thing, not just for Mets fans, but within the sport to spend that kind of money. That's what made it so unique, I would say, in this in watching that play out.
Good, I feel better now.
Talking to former GM Jim Duquette, of course, with Sirius Radio. And Jim, as we look at the Orioles and here moving forward, people took exception to the whole liftoff thing that Mike Elias said and why they haven't done more. As you look at the moves they've made this offseason, even going back to the last trade deadline, do you think they were good moves, most of them? I mean, obviously now we can look at some of them and go, hey, I don't know what Trevor Rogers is going to be. They didn't give up anything for Jimenez, and he wasn't anything. But what about some of the moves they made last year? And then, of course, this offseason with likes of Tyler O'Neill, Gary Sanchez, and Japanese pitcher.
Sugano. Yeah, listen, I think Sugano's going to be, a good back-end rotation type of pitcher starter. But I like the O'Neill signing and the Sanchez signing as complementary pieces, we'll say, to what they're trying to do. Even going back, like for me, the deadline, it's only good if it works, right? So, and that's just the reality of our sport or any of the professional sports. Like, all right, did the trades work? Did they get you further in the playoffs? They didn't, right? So I think you have to look at them and say, well, it didn't work out again. And to me, I think Mike Elias even said this, they didn't expect the offense to need as much work at the end of the season like it did, because basically when it dried up on them, and the pitching actually was pretty good. I think you have to self-evaluate yourself a little better, moving forward at the trade deadline then, right? So that's two in a row, I feel like, that didn't hit. So I think, there should be, and there is a lot of pressure on this group right now to be better than they have been over the last two seasons, which has been good, don't get me wrong, but the division's going to be a lot better, certainly. It looks like the Red Sox are spending more money now, mm-hmm. right? The Rays are healthy this year, it looks like, and the Yankees are going to be good. So, I'm hopeful that the O's are going to spend some more money here, even though there's not a lot of quality still left. I'm hoping that there's a move somewhere in the trade market that's going to improve them dramatically.
What about the – we get a lot of criticism from people on our airwaves and people call in and things like that, but Adley Rutschman. People seem like they've given up on him already because he had a bad second half last season. How do you feel about him?
Well, I sometimes he's had such a good career to this point until the second half last year, as you mentioned, that – you're always judged against your own expectations in some way. So I understand, there's a level of concern, but I'm not concerned about it. He's one of the talented players in the sport still. And players are allowed to have a bad half. We've see that all the time, and I think with him, I don't know if he's ever struggled in his career. I know I talked to Brandon Hyde about this once, not too long ago. And he said, this is something that he struggled with over the course of the year and talked to him a lot about in the second half. So I think recognizing it's first off, secondly, going through that for the first time is a big deal, especially at the major league level. So I think he'll be better for it. I'm not, that's of the concerns of the team. I'd say his is a minor one.
Jim Duquette joining us here. Last thing for you, Jim. Santander, where does he end up? I've heard some people say, why don't the Orioles throw Kierstead in a trade and try to bring him back? I just think the Orioles have a big logjam of players that are very similar. So trades make sense, but you got to find the right partner. But what do you think of Santander and where he ends up?
Boy, it's been pretty quiet. Some of the players like Teoscar Hernandez's market, it kind of affected Santander's market to some degree. And, Hernandez was, because of the Soto market, the Teoscar was looking for 4 years, 5 years, thought he could get more than that. So, you know, I think with Santander, now that the dust has settled a little bit, I think the Toronto is one place that really has his name written all over it. I mean, there's others that I've, you know, we've certainly heard, but I think they're one because they're willing to spend some money. I don't see Boston at this point in the mix. I'm having a hard time beyond Toronto seeing where he's going to end up. I know there's other fits, but you know, I'd heard San Diego's name, although I'm also hearing they're trying to save some or cut back on some of their payroll too. So, you know, right now it's been awfully quiet, but I mean, he's going to end up somewhere. I like the idea, Jeremy, about trading a young outfielder and re-signing Santander. I'd love to see that, especially if the mark, you know, if it's not a, you know, if it's a 4 or 5 year deal, something like that, not a 6 or 7 year deal. So, but I have not heard the Orioles in on Santander at all.
Jim, thanks so much, man. We appreciate your time as always. Hope you have a wonderful new year, and I'm sure we'll be bothering you real soon again.
Not a problem. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, man.